Shout out the Queens.
Shout out the Queens. Shout out the
Queens.
QB.
Long Island City.
Long Island City. Long Island
City. 21st Ave.
21st Ave. 21st
Ave. I'll see you.
I'll see you.
Beast Gang 150.
All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. This is a review for Spider-Man Homecoming. It's directed by John Watts. He's best known for the 2015 movie Cop Car. I remember liking that. The writers are Jonathan Goldstein, John Francis Daly, John Watts, Christopher Ford, Chris McKenna, and Eric Summers. It stars Tom Holland as the lead character, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Michael Keaton, and Robert Downey Jr. The synopsis is, several months after the events of Captain America: Civil War, Peter Parker, with the help of his mentor Tony Stark, tries to balance his life as an ordinary high school student in Queens, New York, while fighting crime as his superhero alter ego, Spider-Man. As a new threat, the Vulture emerges. So, to give a brief overview, it clearly opens with the Sony logo, so you know it's Sony and not Marvel Studios. Michael Keaton's character is in charge of a cleanup crew. They do post-battle cleanup for the Avengers and also other cosmic threats, though they've been secretly stealing valuable technological items from the work sites. The government and Tony Stark create the Department of Damage Control, and they step in to provide cleanup services, pushing Michael Keaton's company out of the way. So Keaton is upset because he feels that the government is stepping on the working class. Keaton decides to take the tech that they have stolen and turn it into weapons to sell on the black market. There's a late Marvel title card. It goes to Peter right as Civil War is happening. He's making a video diary. After the events of Civil War have passed, life goes back to somewhat normal for Peter. He thinks that he's going to be a part of the Avengers, but he has to focus on being in high school and stopping petty crimes. He is interested in another student named Liz. He encounters criminals robbing banks using advanced technology, and that's where we'll stop. Mike, what are your opinions on Spider-Man Homecoming?
I saw the movie twice, because the first time there was a baby crying and I couldn't understand certain parts and it was hard to concentrate. But I think it was worth seeing twice, because I thought the movie was actually really good. When they first brought Spider-Man back, I think some people had a lot of doubts, because this is, what, the sixth time we've seen him on film now. But I think Marvel did a good job with taking things back to when Peter was young. I think Tom Holland, in my opinion, without a shadow of a doubt now, is the best Peter Parker that we've had on screen. When he did the role in the movie, it felt like reading the old comic books when Spider-Man first appeared in Marvel. And I think it's going to be cool watching him grow in the role and watching Spider-Man grow in this Marvel universe as opposed to the older films. I think it played kind of like, I would describe it like a modern day John Hughes superhero movie. And some of the themes in the sense of a boy having this new responsibility and what to do with it and how to use it. But overall, I think it was a good movie. It had a lot of good pace, good comedy, had a little bit of heart to it, and I thought it was a good film.
All right, so let's go to Keith. Keith, what are your opinions?
I'm going to sound like I'm echoing everything Mike said, but the John Hughes comic book movie, that is exactly what I felt like watching this. Tom Holland is, for a young Peter Parker that just starting out within a few months, year one, he's perfect for that role. Boyish charm, he can portray some of that gravitas, that epic guilt that the Spider-Man comic book character has. I have only a small bit of negatives for the movie, but Marvel knocked it out of the park, of course, with this. I knew this movie was going to be good after watching him in Civil War, and it carried over that same kind of nature over into the next scenes. And his portrayal of Peter Parker is completely different from what Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire did. His is not so much the cocky sort of Spider-Man, wisecracking Spider-Man. It's more of like the, you know, oh my God, look at this. He got better wings. That's incredible. And he's just kind of dancing around it. And unintentionally, he's like doing epic stuff. And this is how he is. But at the same time, there's this honest earnestness about him.
All right, Matt.
I want to say it's easily the number one movie must-see of the summer. A couple things I liked about it, like the depth of the movie, the emotional connection between the characters, the unforced humor. A lot of it seemed very natural. seems like the beginning of the Spider-Man universe as far as developing the characters, and it's definitely a step in the right direction of new beginning or homecoming compared to previous ones. Definitely must see.
All right, Jay.
One thing that I'm going to say about this movie that no one's mentioned so far, diversity. There's a lot of diversity in this film. But overall, I did like the movie. There were some small issues I had, but that was just me being me. It wasn't really nothing too big. Tom Holland did a great job as Spider-Man. He did a great job as Peter Parker. And I agree with Mike and Keith. This is a John Hughes superhero film. That's basically what it is. Felt good to actually see a young Peter Parker, because the two actors before him, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, we knew they were in their 30s. This guy, Tom Holland, he's probably like 20, 21. So he's not that far off from a teenager. So it made it more realistic. And to me, this was a true Peter Parker in high school compared to the first two. So with that being said, this is the best Spider-Man I've seen. Hopefully they continue the tradition, because he's a sophomore in this. So hopefully they'll take him all the way up. He graduated from high school.
I'm going to go to Tyrone's comments. He says that he liked the movie. He also enjoyed the fact that it focused more on Peter and him being a teenager with typical teenage angst and not going back into a Spider-Man origin story again. He said that the twists in the movie were enjoyable, and also echoing something that James said, that he likes the diversity, makes it seem more real. The Aunt May character was played well. He likes the different direction. Instead of her being an older woman, that she's a lot younger, basically 40s, 50s. I have some positives, observations, and negatives. So my positives are that it's good that it's not a complete origin story. It moves quickly for the first half. Tom Holland is my second favorite Peter Parker. And it also touches on something that they did not mention in the movie, which is, with great power comes great responsibility, because they try to show the consequences of Peter having superpowers in his suit and unintentionally causing a lot of destruction, which later became a part of Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. Also, it tries to hit home that he lives in Queens, that neighborhood-friendly aspect that Spider-Man is supposed to have. So, some observations are that I did like that there was a slightly more realistic take on the Spider-Man changing into a suit, the alley scene. There's lots of shots of Queens. It's an inverse of using the newer suit earlier as opposed to how it normally is, where someone starts off with the older suit. It introduces other villains decently. The boat scene that happens in the movie reminded me of Deja Vu.
I remember that, yeah, but it didn't remind me of it, but go ahead.
And also, the Zendaya character seemed a little too self-aware.
What do you mean?
I just didn't like her character.
Yeah, but it made sense at the end.
Yeah.
I understand it. As my negatives, the second half feels a little bit weaker than the first half. It only picks up again with a later reveal. The ending could have been a little bit better. Also, that ending scene with Liz probably could have been eliminated. How did everyone feel about Michael Keaton? So, let me go to Tyrone's comments. As Keith would say, I actually felt invested in this character. Given the backstory, he's not your typical villain. He's trying to provide for his family, so he's more of a common criminal villain. And at times that he found himself rooting for the Vulture.
The Vulture is probably my least favorite Spider-Man villain.
Yeah, every iteration of the Vulture is always whiny.
He was just this old man who was like an inventor. He had this flight suit and he was just out robbing stuff. This one, Michael Keaton's
Vulture,
he got screwed over. This is BS. I'm going to do something about it. He wasn't some super genius creating all this stuff. And it wasn't just he was looking out for him. He was looking out for everybody that was working. And kind of like that conversation, and we'll get more into this in the spoiler cast, but that conversation he had with Peter Parker was, I thought, was like one of the better scenes in the movie.
I mean, if you take out the context of what they were talking about, what he was saying was actually telling him some real shit.
Well, exactly. Because every other Spider-Man villain is always a rich person that stumbles upon some type of power. And for Michael Keaton's character just to be a regular guy, got screwed and says, well, let me do something about that, says a lot for just the
But isn't Michael Keaton as an actor kind of your blue collar, down to earth American actor? So isn't that part of why he really works in the role?
I don't know, man. Michael Keaton's pretty diverse. I mean, his
he's been all pretty over diverse, that. But what I'm saying is, damn movie was that in the '80s with the factory.
Oh my god.
With the Gung Ho?
Gung Ho,
yeah.
When I see Michael Keaton, something like, and plus he's from Pennsylvania, which might have a big deal to do with it too, because it's really a blue collar state. He comes off like this blue collar guy you might run into on the street or in the bar or the factory.
What was that other movie he was in too? Mr. Mom, stuff like that.
Like he's kind of a working class actor like back in the day. And so he kind of fits that mold with this movie to me.
Except for Bruce Wayne when he played Batman. It's the only time you saw him with money.
Right. Right,
I thought he was out of character with that role too. So I can see your point to that. He was just schooling on real stuff, and it was like you could tell he wanted to kill him. But once he figured out, he's like, "Nah, I need to educate this kid and like get him like on board." And he's like, "But I don't care because I got my family. I got a beautiful family."
He did the solid thing as a man. You did this, so I respect that. So I'm gonna give you one. But if you do something again, then I'm gonna take your ass out.
I'm about to drop you, kid. And he wasn't greedy. We need to do this to get where we need to be so we are set and we're fine. Stuff was happening in the movie. To the end of the movie, it like, I got to do this. Now we're at the stage where I have to do this now.
Because he was trying to avoid that. He didn't want to do the big score against the person that screwed him over.
Which is a theme that plays out in real life, which I got to say, Marvel made really smart decisions with this. I'll probably go on a rant about it when we do a spoiler cast. But if you watch this on the surface of what it is, it's very real world presently too.
Literally, I can't imagine another Vulture. You know, just like I can't imagine another Dr. Octopus other than Alpha Molina.
Yeah, he set the tone. He did a great job. He did better than what I expected. He actually added more depth to the character from what most people know and what most people see. Just like you mentioned, Barry, you know, all the reiterations of Vulture have been kind of like, like that, like Gargamel or something like that. So it's something that it opens up a whole different chapter on this character.
Well,
I mean, I hope they bring him back, but
yeah, if you've seen Birdman with Michael Keaton, you see his acting range because that is an actor's movie and that is a great movie. So let's move on. The next question is, how did everyone feel about Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr.?
My biggest fear was I thought Robert Downey Jr., because he's a scene stealer and he doesn't intend to be one, but he just sort of steals scenes when he's in it. I did not think he stole any scenes in this movie. Honestly, felt like he was tipping his hat to Tom Holland for the minute there. He's like, hey, check this new superhero out, kind of thing. And he was throwing his little one-liners, throwing out his little quirks and his interactions with his crew, people around him. And then he would kind of be off the screen. I mean, he maybe had, 20 minutes of screen time, if that long?
I told my wife when they first announced it that this is simply a marketing ploy, and I'll give him 5 scenes tops. And I think I was just about right. I think it's about 5 that he's in, really. And I don't think it was overplayed. I think it made sense for the fact that the timeline of the film, and it would make sense that he's in it a little bit because he's the one that did recruit Peter in Civil War. Mm-hmm. But I also don't think that you really needed him to sell this movie either.
Nope.
I think that was just Marvel's safety net of, okay, well, Iron Man's our biggest franchise. He's the draw. In case people are tired of Spider-Man, let's throw him in the mix and see if that draws people to come see the movie.
So you're saying that was possibly a security blanket just in case?
No, I think it is. I don't even think it's a possibility. I think they literally sat down and said, okay, look, let's put Robert Downey Jr. in this. And even if people don't want to see Spider-Man anymore, I mean, let's be honest, this is number 6. So at some point, you're wearing out your welcome a little bit. It's kind of like Batman and Superman. Like, how many more times are we going to see this shit? So I think that was a safety net. But again, like he said, he didn't do anything to steal a scene. Like, he had his little one-liners. He was Tony Stark, and was like, okay, yeah, whatever. But you were mainly focused on Tom Holland throughout the film.
Yeah.
And they did the little hint of, okay, Tony's growing into a man, the whole father figure mentor thing, which was always something he was completely against in the earlier film.
Even at the end, it turned out that Tony Stark kind of wasn't necessary, but necessary at the same time.
And I'll touch on the spoiler, but seriously, hashtag smart fucking decisions. DC can learn a whole lot from this movie.
I think they're learning. Yeah.
Took him a long ass time, don't you think?
That's Warner Brothers, dude.
So my next question is, where does this rank in the Phase 3 Marvel movies? So we have Captain America Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, and Spider-Man Homecoming. Mike.
All right. So on the Guardians podcast, I said the Guardians 2 was my number one out of the Phase 3 movies. But then I saw Civil War again and watch Guardians again. I think I'm flip-flopping now. So I got Civil War 1, Guardians 2, number 2, Spider-Man 3, and Doctor Strange 4.
Okay, Matt.
I would have to agree with Mike. That would be my same exact order as well.
Keith.
Let's see. Civil War still stands out. I would give Civil War, Guardians, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange.
All right, Jay.
I'm going to piggyback off of everyone because everyone basically said the same thing. So it'll be Civil War, Guardians, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange. But Doctor Strange not that far behind Spider-Man, but that's the order.
Tyrone says Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians 2, and then Spider-Man Homecoming. So he's putting it last. So he says that Homecoming didn't add anything other than bringing Spider-Man into the MCU. It didn't progress the Phase 3 timeline, and it's basically just so he can be used later. And for me, I'm going to say Captain America, Guardians, Spider-Man, and Doctor Strange. So echoing everyone else other than Tyrone. The next question will be, as far as Spider-Man is concerned, where does this movie rank in all of the Spider-Man movies? That includes the Tobey Maguire ones and the Andrew Garfield movies. And Mike?
I'm like really stuck on this one. I'm stuck between the first two Spider-Mans with Tobey and then Spider-Man Homecoming. Keith made a point earlier about Alfred Molina when he played Dr. Octopus, which was a really, really outstanding job. And even when you look at Spider-Man 1, I think Willem Dafoe did a really good job as Green Goblin. And I think that's the major difference between those and Spider-Man Homecoming. As good as Michael Keaton did, I don't think he did better than those villains. So I'm going to go with Spider-Man 2 as the number one, then Spider-Man Homecoming. And then you take the bullshit Spider-Man 3 and the Amazing Spider-Man and toss them to the side.
All right, Keith.
I am going to differ from Mike. And Barry, you know this. One of my favorite, out-and-out favorite films of all time is Spider-Man 2. I think it is the flat-out one of the best comic book movies that has just ever graced the screen. I mean, that was just, it is hard to find a flaw with that movie.
Like, I would say, you know, Spider-Man 2 and X-Men 2.
They captured everything that was great and good about Spider-Man, and they put it in that movie. You had a villain who was relatable. You had a story that was centered around that, but that movie wasn't centered around that plot angle. It was centered around Peter Parker trying to get his life under control. The real thing about Spider-Man is that he is one of the most relatable comic book characters you will ever see, but he is the one comic book character that no one wants to be. No one goes around and says, "Yeah, I wish I was Spider-Man," because that dude's life can be jacked up. And Spider-Man 2 epitomized that. I mean, it just captured all that, but it captured all the good things about it as well. And Spider-Man Homecoming didn't quite do that. So Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man 1, then Andrew Garfield's The Amazing Spider-Man did a good job. And the rest of those, I'd watch paint dry before those two movies. So,
all right, Matt.
Spider-Man 2, and then Spider-Man Homecoming. Rank it number 2.
Jay.
Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man... Well, Spider-Man 3 is last, and you could just put the other Spider-Mans in any order because I really didn't see them. I never saw them from begin to end. I saw it from bits and pieces of it, so I don't have a saying for it, but I do know that Spider-Man 3 is last.
All right, so let me go to Tyrone's comments. So his answer would be Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man 3. He says that he also really liked The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So for him, that's a toss-up. Either one can be second or third. And he says that one of the key things that makes Spider-Man 2 better than Homecoming is that it was all Spider-Man. And as much as he enjoys seeing Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Nas to the Avengers, the original Spider-Man movies were all about Spider-Man and Peter Parker, and didn't use other characters to support the film. And he does say that he loves that the suit is somehow related to Tony Stark, and that Tony Stark had some say into the design. So my answer is Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Homecoming, The Amazing Spider-Man, and at the very end, Spider-Man 3 and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which Both of those were beyond terrible movies. Let's get into scores. So, Mike, do you want to provide some wrap-up thoughts and a score?
Right now, I have it at 8.5. Really good film. I saw it twice. I think it's enjoyable for anyone, even if you're not a comic book fan. I think you can, young, old, middle age, demographic-wise, whatever, you can enjoy this film and relate to it in a lot of aspects. So I thought it was just a great movie.
All right, Keith?
My thoughts are similar. I'm going to give it like an 8.5. Spider-Man 2, I give it a 9.5, as close to a 10 as I can safely get away with. But this is, I give this an 8.5 because it's a fantastic movie. I like that they went with the whole coming-of-age teen angle with this. I thought the supporting characters, especially within the high school, fit extremely well. I like the little one-liners from Zendaya. She just kind of popped up in detention, and she's like, you're not even in detention. You don't have detention. It was like everybody there was a character. Peter Parker wasn't this loner kid who was just down in his dumps. He's got friends. He's got things he does there. Now he's changed because he's become Spider-Man. I like the whole background. I even like the Avengers angle because that was sorely missing in the previous Spider-Man films. Did have a couple negatives. I thought that it was at times a little too lighthearted. There was a couple of times Peter Parker, he's got some serious issues, like especially namely guilt because of what happened to his uncle. And him feeling that he's responsible for what happened to him, which is why he's doing what he did. They didn't touch on that. And granted, everybody knows about it, but kind of like that core thing, that event is what drives him to do what he does. Love Michael Keaton in it. And like the twist that they did with his characters. It was fantastic. So good movie. 8.5.
All right, Matt.
He's easily, in my opinion, the best Spider-Man representation out of the other two. The one thing I did like about this movie is that Iron Man, in my opinion, wasn't forced in this particular series. I don't know if you guys remembered, there's a part in the movie where there wasn't any buildings or towers or...
Yeah.
And so he didn't have to shoot any web in the sky, so here he is, like, running.
I used to ask myself that as a kid, like, what happens if he's not in the city and there's no buildings around?
Yeah, I was the same way. So there he is, like, running, just like a normal...
That was cool. I like how he did that. That was
fun. He was like, man, this sucks.
I know, right? So it provided some comic relief on that aspect. For those that have followed the comic book, balancing as far as him in school, his personal responsibilities, his superhero responsibilities, I felt that it did it very well. I would have to give this movie a 9 out of 10. I mean, I really, really... really like this movie. So easily, I think this will probably be the number one movie of the summer. So,
all right, Jay.
Yeah, I give this movie an 8.5 as well. There were some negatives. I mean, it's just certain things that I kind of wish they kind of overdid it, but I'll get into that later into the when we talked about spoilers. And Michael Keaton did a great job. I liked how he just played that role. Like I said before, he basically created a character that had, I'm not going to say a bad reputation, but just wasn't a strong reputation as a powerful villain to a sympathetic villain, but a person at the same time, someone you could relate to and just an overall true character. And then I also liked how they're kind of blending universes here. I like that. And I also found that Peter's homeboy, his partner in crime was pretty interesting. I like a lot of things they did in this movie, but I just had some negatives, not too many. So I give it an 8.5.
All right, for Tyrone, he's going to give it a 7.5. And again, he likes the fact that it focuses on Peter Parker and Spider-Man more than anybody else. The twists in the movie were good for him. And also just how great Michael Keaton was as the Vulture. So also, I'm going to give it a 7.5. Holland and Michael Keaton work well together, and I like the scenes between them. Later in the movie, there's one scene that plays off a lot of tension. It's good that it goes back to high school as opposed to the regular origin story, where it's like he's graduating and then he's out in New York trying to figure everything out. The second half of the movie is weaker than the first half. The ending is weak, and also the comedy is kind of a problem for me, but the movie is really Tom Holland's movie, and he is a good actor. If you've seen In the Heart of the Sea, he's good in that. Looking at a lot of his mannerisms, if they ever decide to redo Back to the Future, which I hope they do not, he would be a very good Marty McFly.
You know what? Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
I can see it too.
Please don't do that.
They just leave this shit alone.
And that's the Beast Game Podcast. You can find more of our podcasts at beastgame.com, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Twitter, and YouTube.